Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to today's Sunday weekly gathering. Today's a little bit special because today, in a way, is our one-year anniversary. We actually started Awakening together with our first Sunday gathering on July 21st, 2013. And this year, July 21st falls on a Monday, so that'll be tomorrow. But this is close enough, I think, to say, yeah, happy birthday, Awakening together. I think this is close enough. It's our weekly gathering a year later. So I'll be talking a little bit about that when we get to the statement of purpose and announcements section of the weekly gathering. But why don't we start by saying hello to one another? So I'm going to play the song that I traditionally play for this hello experience, and that's Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten.
To the corners of the mystic awakening, in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
It is kind of exciting to be having a 1 year anniversary or happy birthday, and it did go by very, very fast. Awakening Together most legally is named Foundation for the Holy Spirit. That's the name that the IRS knows us by, with a doing business as Awakening Together name. And the Foundation for the Holy Spirit has a mission. And that mission is to help individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom by providing a ministry which consists of spiritual teaching, counseling, internet programs and worship services, worldwide like-minded fellowship, and other resources and services that are beneficial to that mission. Again, the primary mission, helping individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. Now, Foundation for the Holy Spirit's ministry is called Awakening Together. And Awakening Together is an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, within an appearance of many faiths many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And as I mentioned, the Awakening Together Assembly started a year ago on July 21st, 2013. And in our first year, we have grown to 374 members with 212 subscribers to our daily updates. And of course, we offer this weekly gathering. We offer daily contemplation circles, weekly prayer circles, a minister preparation program in which 27 members are now actively enrolled on their way to being Awakening Together ministers. And tomorrow, we will complete our first election of trustees, and three members will be added to the member board of trustees. Those members will be Jennifer Nahulu, Teddy Poppy, and King Gibson. Also, when we were going through the nomination process for the member board of trustees, many of you nominated Myron Jones. In fact, she might have been the top nominated person, if I remember correctly. But she declined the nomination to the member board of trustees because it does take a bit of a time commitment, and she did not feel she had the time. But we wanted to honor the fact that she was the most nominated person, so the member board of trustees nominated her to the board of directors, which has less of a time commitment. She accepted that nomination, and the board of directors elected her. So Myron Jones is also being added to our board of directors on this anniversary date. In addition to that, we're only 2 months away, in fact, a little under 2 months away from our first official Awakening Together retreats. These are kind of like family reunions that we hope to have from time to time. Those two retreats are, and I know you've heard of them, the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat, which is September 12 to 14, and the Awakening Together Soak in the Beauty Retreat, which is September 14 to 18. Both are going to be held at the absolutely lovely Old Mission in Santa Barbara, California. And, of course, you can sign up for those on our website. It's interesting, yesterday on my Facebook page, a little conversation happened that reminded me of especially the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. One friend wrote on my Facebook page that awakening occurs by grace, and then she said, in which case, we can all talk about this stuff until we are blue in the face, and it has done no good whatsoever. And then she asked me and Timothy Conway, who is, by the way, one of our leaders at the Satsang Retreat, she asked the two of us what we thought about that comment. So Timothy thought first, and he answered first. And here was his answer. It could be said that all this Dharma talk is like birds singing or flowers blooming. Reality uses the human instrument to talk about reality, and eventually, sooner or later, by the power of this reality, sentient beings awaken to this reality. The no good whatsoever is an assessment, not taking in the longer term unfolding ripeness of these personal consciousnesses. One never knows when a wisdom aphorism or just the events of this daily life dream bring a sudden profound awakening from mere egotism to the reality, doing everything and being everyone. He also quoted the one that he calls his mentor, which is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, that said something like, I can't remember the quote exactly, but it was something like, truth talk leads to truth. Maybe I should look that up and post that in the room a little later while we're playing a song. But the basic idea from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj is that there is an advantage to getting together and talking about truth, that something is happening beyond the words, beyond the intellect, when we get together and talk about truth. In fact, I think that's the meaning of the word satsang, right? When we get together and talk about truth and be with truth, there is, like Timothy is saying, there is an unfolding that is happening, flowers blooming. The way that I answered the question was this. Debating spiritual concepts doesn't seem helpful. It seems that ego is boosted through these types of conversations. But to listen to someone who is clear and to disappear into the vibration of that clarity seems very helpful. And that is something that I enjoy doing very much. I enjoy listening to clarity and being absolutely still within myself. I feel when I'm listening to clarity, I feel like a sponge, and I want to be a very open sponge. You know, I don't want to be doing a lot of thinking about what they're saying. I want to be a very open sponge and just allow it to sink in. And so I'm not even looking for what do I understand about this, what do I not understand about this when I'm soaking in clarity. I'm just being, yeah, and allowing the clarity to do whatever it's doing. I do nothing. I mean, what is the I that would be doing something with it, right? That's when we start getting back into the debating and the ego. I do nothing, and I just be as the clarity comes. And I mentioned that this conversation reminded me of the retreats coming up, because that really is the vision for the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat and the Soak in the Beauty Retreat. The Awakening Together Satsang Retreat is an opportunity to be with clarity. There's a lot of clarity that comes through Timothy Conway and Magdi, and also through Kirtana and her songs. So, and they, by the way, in case you don't know, are our retreat leaders. So it's an opportunity to just be in the presence of that clarity and be the sponges and soak it up. And again, in an absolutely beautiful place that seems to lend itself to that desire just to be. And again, that retreat is the one that is on the weekend, September 12 to 14th, a Friday evening to a Sunday lunchtime with Timothy Conway, Magdi, and Kirtana. And then following that, for additional soaking it up, we have the Soak in the Beauty Retreat. And this is a time of just being after the retreat to allow that, I don't know, that digestion to continue to happen. And this particular retreat will be silent in the morning time up until right after lunch every day. And this begins on Sunday evening and runs through Thursday morning breakfast, the 14th through the 18th. And again, the old mission is absolutely beautiful. There are lots of places there to go and walk, to go and sit among, you know, even rare plants and just be. And then every day after the after lunch, we will board a tour bus and we'll go to a local place of beauty for sitting or walking or even talking, if you want to talk at this point. And the first day we're going to go to the Santa Barbara Botanical Garden. The second day we'll go to local Santa Barbara beaches. And then the third day we're going to take a small trip south to some bluffs that overlook some seals, a colony of seals, and soak in the beauty there. And then each evening we will get together for discussion. So if there are questions or if there's something you want to express, you'll have that opportunity to do that in a small group in the evening time. Plus one of those evenings, Timothy Conway is going to join us again. As I mentioned, those retreats are less than 2 months away. So if you want to sign up, now's a good time. We also have added information about how to get to Santa Barbara. And just this week, we've rented a shuttle bus so that we can pick people up at the airport or at the Airbus place in Santa Barbara if you need a ride. So you can find all of that information on our links. Also, just wanted to point out that today's daily quote is from Magdi, and when I even think of today's daily quote, I almost become wordless. So if you get a chance, you might want to check out today's Awakening Together daily quote. And then tonight, Kirtana is going to be our guest here in the sanctuary. So you can come and get to know Kirtana. I know many of you know her through her music. I'll be playing one of her songs today. But you can get to know her in a different way tonight by coming here at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We'll have an hour and a half to talk to her. If you have questions for her, you'll be able to ask those questions. I also just want to announce that David Fishman is going to be offering a class called Core Message of A Course in Miracles. And his class is going to be offered right here in Pal Talk, but in a different room. It's called the Awakening Together Classroom on September 8th and 15th. So there will be two sessions for this class. It will be at 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific Time. You can watch for the daily updates for more information about this class and a link to register. The cost of the class for both sessions is going to be $55. And in fact, I can give you a link right now. It's not posted on our website yet, though it should be posted this weekend. But here's a link for those of you who are in the room and want to check out the class that Dove will be offering. There's your link. Again, the name of the class is Core Message of A Course in Miracles. One other announcement that I have is that the Course in Miracles conference in New York City, A Present Love, will be April 17th to 19th, 2015. And I know that sounds very, very far off, but time is running out to register at the current price. In fact, you must register and pay in full by July 31st, by midnight on July 31st, in order to get the current rate, which is $449, which includes the conference, and four meals, I believe. Your room is extra. On August 1st, that price goes up to $499. Now, David Fishman and Lisa Natoli, who I believe are probably representing the Teachers of God Foundation, they do have several discount tickets available. So another possibility, if you can't pay in full by July 31st, is to contact Dove and get discount tickets through him. But if you want to register for $449 by July 31st, you can go to the Awakening Together website. Oh, Dove says they only have two tickets left. Well, there you go. There's more incentive then. Wow, those tickets went fast. So there's more incentive then to go ahead and register by July 31st before the price goes up. And you can do that at the Awakening Together website. Also, between now and the conference here in the Awakening Together Sanctuary, we are going to feature many of the speakers from that conference so that you can get to know them. And by the way, I don't think I mentioned the prices of the Awakening Together Satsang and Soak in the Beauty retreats. Those registration fees are a little different than the ACIM conference because these registration fees include the conference, include the room, and all meals, so there isn't an additional cost. If you want to share a room with someone, the Awakening Together Satsang is $395. If you want a private room, it's $595. Again, everything is included. If the Soak in the Beauty retreat, if you want a single room, it's $845. If you want to share a room, it's $695. That, of course, includes your room for four nights. I think it's 11 meals, which is all of the meals during the time that you'll be there, and also the tour bus excursions on the afternoons. So those are the prices for those particular retreats. And I think that's it for our announcements. So what I'm going to do now is play our opening song. It's by a group called The River's Voice, and the name of the song is Behold, an Ancient Voice is Calling Us.
Behold, behold, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, 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 an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, 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 an ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. All over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us. An ancient voice is calling us. Behold, behold, over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us, an ancient voice is calling us, behold, behold, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us, all over the sky, an ancient voice is calling us, an ancient voice is calling us, behold, behold, all over the sky. An ancient voice is calling us all over the sky. An ancient voice is calling us, behold, behold.
All right, let's go into silence, followed by prayer. I want to say thank you for the unknown, for the mystery, for that which is beyond the limited human mind. The limited human mind has so many ideas, so many judgments, so many thoughts about what should be, very noisy, very active, most of the time chattering about nothing at all, nothing with any meaning. And then at the exact same time, there's something that is much bigger, much broader. In fact, the mind is only a grain of sand next to it. And yet it's the flow that is moving everything. It's the flow that brought about awakening together. It's the flow that's brought about everything that's happened with awakening together in the last year. And it's the flow that's taking us in a direction that is still unknown to us. And we embrace it because we know it is the flow of love. It is the benevolent flow of our best interest. We pray for assistance in hushing these mental ideas, chatter, chatter, this should be, this should be, this should not be. And help in centering in trust in the stillness in which this large, all-encompassing, benevolent flow moves. Help us to relax into it and to know we are moved by it, even though we don't know the next step. Let us be happy to be still and be the witnesses of what it does. Amen. And now it's time for our inspirational reading. Dolores is going to be reading today from the Tao Te Ching. She is a participant in the Minister Preparation Program. And I haven't heard her speak much in the sanctuary, if at all, so I'm very happy to turn the mic over to her now. Dolores, the mic is yours.
Good morning. Can I get a mic check? Oh, good. I hope I'm not too loud. Well, you know, I'm very honored to be given the reading this morning since it's the first year anniversary. I want to say I feel special. but also, I read the Magdi's quote, the awakening quote for today, and I wanted to say that I had the pleasure and opportunity to be at a satsang with Magdi here in the Baltimore, Washington region a few months ago. And when I sat down with him and the other participants, I just began the week. And I don't know why it was like the presence there. I can't describe it. It was just very strong. And I wish I were able to go out to Santa Barbara to be in that satsang, because his presence at that where I was with him was very strong. And so I had the page. Okay, here I go. So this morning I'm reading from the Tao Te Ching, chapters 29, 30, 37, and 38. So chapter 29, do you want to improve the world? I don't think it can be done. The world is sacred. It can't be improved. If you tamper with it, you'll ruin it. If you treat it like an object, you'll lose it. There is a time for being ahead, a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, a time for being in danger. The master sees things as they are, without trying to control them. She lets them go their own way and resides at the center of the circle. Chapter 30. Whoever relies on the Tao in governing men doesn't try to force issues or defeat enemies by force of arms. For every force, there is a counterforce. Violence, even well-intentioned, always rebounds upon oneself. The master does his job and then stops. He understands that the universe is forever out of control and that trying to dominate events goes against the current of the Tao. Because he believes in himself, he doesn't try to convince others. Because he is content with himself, he doesn't need others' approval. Because he accepts himself, the whole world accepts him. Chapter 37. The Tao never does anything, yet through it all things are done. If powerful men and women could venture themselves in it, the whole world would be transformed by itself in its natural rhythms. People would be content with their simple everyday lives in harmony and free of desire. When there is no desire, all things are at peace. Chapter 38. The master doesn't try to be powerful. Thus he is truly powerful. The ordinary man keeps reaching for power. Thus he never has enough. The master does nothing, yet he leaves nothing undone. The ordinary man is always doing things, yet many more are left to be done. The kind man does something, yet something remains undone. The just man does something and leaves many things to be done. The moral man does something, and when no one responds, he rolls up his sleeves and uses force. When the Tao is lost, there is goodness. When goodness is lost, there is morality. When morality is lost, there is ritual. Ritual is the husk of true faith, the beginning of chaos. Therefore, the master concerns himself with the depths and not the surface, with the fruit and not the flower. He has no will of his own, reality, and lets go of all illusion. And lets all illusion go. Thank you for letting me read this morning, and I'm letting go of the mic.
Thank you, Dolores. I am very, very happy that you were able to be here and read for us. I remember that the last time I led an Awakening Together gathering, I promised to share from the Tao. What I don't remember is why or even what I was speaking about 3 weeks ago. So so I kept my promise without remembering exactly why I made the promise. But as Dolores was reading today, I was actually reminded of at least the first part of today's daily quote, which is from Magdi. The first part of this quote says, the true substance of thought is no thought. The substance of all seeming events is non-event. The substance of manifestation is unmanifest. Let me read those three lines one more time. Because really, although Magdi I'm sure was not contemplating Lao Tzu when he wrote this, this just came from Magdi. Magdi is talking about the exact same thing that Lao Tzu is talking about. Lao Tzu calls it the Tao. Magdi isn't giving it a name, but he's pointing directly at it. The true substance of thought is no thought. The substance of all seeming events is non-event. The substance of manifestation is unmanifest. And then Magdi continues, as this is revealed to you, the seamless quality of the unseen is revealed in the midst of the seen. It is the realization of the eternity and infinity of the unseen that reveals causeless peace and happiness. So that is today's daily quote. And I noticed Kathy has written Before Mind and Barb has written The Flow of Life. Kathy is now writing Substanceless Substance, which would be fun to try and say fast 10 times. But yeah, that is the Tao. That's the name that Lao Tzu gave to it. And today Dolores read from chapter 29, chapter 30, chapter 37, and chapter 38 of the Tao, which all have a very, very similar theme. And that theme begins in chapter 29 with, do you want to improve the world? I don't think it can be done. And of course, we look around the world. There's a lot of things going on. We have fighting again in Gaza and Israel. We have fighting in the Russian territories where recently a civilian airline was accidentally shot down, mistook for a transport. I know there's a lot of fighting happening on the African continent. And I know there's a lot more going on than I know about. Because I very, very seldom watch the news in the first place. And in the second place, the U.S. news only gives us a tiny glimpse of what's happening in the world. The other day, there was a woman here in the sanctuary from Egypt. Her name was Soso Samsara. And she was upset about people who, she says she was aware of people who, I think she said, boil dogs and cats alive because they believe that they taste better when they eat them if they do it that way. There's just so many things going on in the world that probably are even beyond my worst imagination. And yet, Lao Tzu says, do you want to improve the world? I don't think it can be done. And then he continues, the world is sacred. It can't be improved. If you tamper with it, you'll ruin it. If you treat it like an object, you'll lose it. Listen to that last line. If you treat it like an object. Let's go back to what Magdi said. He said the substance of manifestation is unmanifest. Listen to that line. The substance of manifestation is unmanifest. And now listen to Lao Tzu. If you treat the world like an object, you'll lose it. So what the heck does Lao Tzu mean when he says that you can't improve the world, it's sacred, and if you tamper with it, you'll ruin it? Well, whenever I read the Tao, there is an image that comes to my mind, which is extremely helpful in understanding the Tao. And that is the image of a pendulum. And in this image that I have, when the pendulum is absolutely still, everything is in harmony, both manifest and unmanifest. I mean, there's absolute perfect balance in the stillness of the Tao. And if that pendulum was always still, we couldn't have wars. We couldn't have hunger. We couldn't have disease. We couldn't have crime. None of those things could happen if the Tao was absolutely still. Now, the nature of the Tao is that it is always in perfect balance. The Tao is never out of whack. And that reminds me now of what I was reading last time. It was the book of Jude in NTI. In NTI, Jude talks about how nothing is ever out of whack. That's what led me to say I'll bring the Tao next time. Now I remember. The Tao is never out of whack. The Tao is always in perfect balance. But in order to understand how the Tao can be in perfect balance and there can be such horrible images in the world, horrible experiences, they're not just images, there are ones experiencing those images, right? In order to understand how there can be these horrible appearances and experiences in the world and know that the Tao is always in perfect harmony, again, it's helpful to remember the pendulum. As I mentioned, when the pendulum is still, the reflection of the world is also perfect harmony. But when the pendulum begins to move, it moves in equal balance. So that if it moves to the right by 20%, it also swings back to the left by 20%. That is perfect balance. 20% to the right would be what we call, or what we judge as good, as should be, as the right way, as the way everyone should be, as the way everything should be. That's to the right. And whenever we make a judgment, this should be this way, and then we take some effort to attempt to secure that vision, we push the pendulum to the right. But then when that pendulum is released, it has to swing back to the left to an absolutely equal degree. This is duality. This is opposites. And this is balance. The opposite of our attempts at good are bad. The opposite of our attempts of should be are the appearances of what we call shouldn't be, etc. So as we mess with the world, trying to improve it, because the Tao has to be in perfect balance at all times, we mistakenly create the exact images and appearances and experiences that we are trying to eradicate. Now, listen again to the Tao after I've explained that pendulum effect. Do you want to improve the world? I don't think it can be done. The world is sacred. It can't be improved. If you tamper with it, you'll ruin it. If you treat it like an object, you'll lose it. And again, that's because the world is not an object. When we're trying to improve the world, we're looking at the world as if it is something real. And by real, I mean manifest without the essence of unmanifest. Again, by real, I mean manifest without the essence of unmanifest. When we're trying to improve the world, we are disregarding the spiritual law from which the world appears. And if we disregard the spiritual law from which the world appears, we're pushing the heck out of that pendulum. And as we're pushing that pendulum, it absolutely must swing back to an equal degree. And so that's why Lao Tzu writes, there is a time for being ahead, a time for being behind, a time for being in motion, a time for being at rest, a time for being vigorous, a time for being exhausted, a time for being safe, and a time for being in danger. What he is really demonstrating is the swinging of that pendulum back and forth, right? The time for being ahead would be to the right. The time for being behind is to the left. The time for being in motion is to the right. The time for being at rest is to the left. Vigorous, right, exhausted, left. Safe, right, danger, left. But what he's implying in this when he says there is a time for is he is implying us in a position of absolute stillness, observing the pendulum swinging back and forth. Now what happens if we observe the pendulum swinging back and forth and we do not continue to push it? It starts to slow down, right? And if we continue to watch that pendulum swinging back and forth and we don't push it, it starts to slow down even more. And even more, and even more. And eventually, what happens to that pendulum? It comes back to the position of still. No movement. And that's where we have perfect harmony. So this is why Lao Tzu is telling us if we treat the world like an object and we tamper with it, we're going to ruin it. We're pushing the heck out of that pendulum. But if we just accept what is, regardless of the current appearance, regardless of whether it comes from the right or the left, regardless of whether we perceive it as good or bad, right? Pleasurable or painful, right? If we are still with it, accept it as it is, be with it as it is, in a very deep way, as Adyashanti would say, and we are very, very still, we cease to push the pendulum, and that allows it to come back to center, which allows all things to be in harmony, both manifest and unmanifest. And that's why chapter 29 ends with, the master sees things as they are, without trying to control them. The master understands that these appearances are coming from the pushing of the pendulum. And the master also understands that it's being still that's really going to be most helpful. So the master sees things as they are without trying to control them. She lets them go their own way and resides at the center of the circle. It reminds me very much of A Course in Miracles when it says, I need do nothing. From chapter 30, Dolores read, the master does his job and then stops. Well, when the master does his job and then stops, the master's job is not coming from thinking and judging. The master's job is not coming from, oh, I see something wrong there, I should fix it. Because the master knows that if you see something wrong and attempt to fix it, you're pushing the pendulum. And so the master is always at a point of unattached, peaceful stillness. And yet the Tao itself moves the master. So the master is moved around doing things, but the master has no mental attachment or no mental judgment to what is being done. And that's why the master does his job, then stops. He's not later thinking about, oh, I wonder if people saw that. I wonder if people are going to do as I asked them to do. I wonder if people, you know, there's no thought. It's just moved, do, stop. Right? Because it really has nothing to do with the master as a person. In fact, the ultimate master, there is no person. There really is only the Tao moving a body. So the master does his job and then stops. He understands that the universe is forever out of control. That would be the current state of affairs. And that trying to dominate events goes against the current of the Tao. Right? He understands that the universe is forever out of control. That's looking right now. It's out of control because everybody's pushing that pendulum. It doesn't matter if I'm trying to control my child, my spouse, or I'm the leader of a country trying to make world peace through the actions that I think are in best interest, right? Yes, the laws of chaos. He understands that everybody's pushing that pendulum all of the time, and that's why the world is so out of control. He understands that trying to dominate or control events, even with good intentions, goes against the current of the Tao. And in fact, chapter 37, if powerful men and women could venter themselves in the Tao, the whole world would be transformed by itself in its natural rhythms. Now, by powerful men and women, the Tao does pay attention to leaders. The Tao does realize that there are what we would call leaders in this world and followers. And so if those few that the majority look at and follow and believe, right? If those few would venter themselves in the Tao, venter is kind of like center, but it's even deeper. It refers to the belly or the womb even more. And when you venter yourself in something, you're not only very centered in it, but something is going to be born from that centering. That's what venter means. So if the powerful men and women could venter themselves in the Tao, and then, of course, everyone else who is watching them follows their example, the whole world would be transformed by itself in its natural rhythms. Because if everyone stopped trying to push that pendulum, the pendulum is going to slow down more, barely move, and then stop. And when it stops, from that point of stillness, we get absolute harmony in the manifest as well as the unmanifest. Now, the interesting thing about the Tao is that you can't wait for harmony in order to stop pushing. If you wait for harmony in order to stop pushing the pendulum, in order to stop trying to improve things, the pendulum never stops. So you have to be like the master, and you have to understand that the pendulum is moving back and forth now. We're getting the appearances of good and bad, right and wrong, holy and evil now because of the pushing that has happened. And you have to be able to watch all of those appearances with complete understanding and be very, very still in order to allow the pendulum to come back to center. If powerful men and women could venter themselves in the Tao, the whole world would be transformed by itself in its natural rhythms. People would be content with their simple everyday lives in harmony and free of desire. Chapter 38. The master doesn't try to be powerful. Thus, he is truly powerful, right? Because true power comes by just letting the Tao be the Tao, doing nothing yourself, letting the Tao be the Tao. That's true power. So the master doesn't try to be powerful, trying to fix things and convince people. Instead, the master is still, and that's where true power is. The ordinary man keeps reaching for power. And when he reaches out for that power, he's pushing the pendulum. Right? And so, of course, he never has enough power. He can't have any effect. We can't elect a president that's going to solve all the problems. Because for every problem that is solved, another one will be born by the swinging of the Tao. There can't be born a medical genius that can heal all of the diseases. Because for every disease that is healed, there will be another one born through the Tao. The master does nothing, yet he leaves nothing undone. Because the Tao, in harmony, takes care of everything through its natural rhythms. The ordinary man is always doing things, always trying to fix and improve, and yet there are many, many more things left undone because he's pushing the pendulum in everything he does. Even the kind man does something. Yet something remains undone because that kind man, as well intentioned as he is, is judging and pushing the pendulum. And it is swinging back to an equal and opposite degree. Even the just man does something and leaves many things undone. The master concerns himself with the depths and not the surface. Or if we look back at what Magdi said, which is written as today's daily quote, the substance of manifestation is unmanifest. So the master is focused on the unmanifest more than the manifest. It's focused on spiritual law more than what's currently appearing. The master has no will of his own. No desires about what needs to be different. He dwells in reality and lets all illusions go. And this is how the Tao comes back to center. This is how perfect harmony comes to being even within the manifest. And this is why A Course in Miracles says, I need do nothing. And so now what I'm going to do is play a song so that we can contemplate the teaching of the Tao. Also, Barb will put a link in the room for donations to Awakening Together, which are very helpful. Now, the song I'm going to play is the exact same song I played 3 weeks ago when I was here for the contemplation. It is a Kirtana song called Happy Birthday, Jesus. But it's a song I felt to play again today because this song speaks to this teaching of the Tao as well as it spoke to the teaching from NTI Jude. So here is Kirtana. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday, Jesus, lives and lives have passed since we saw you last at Gethsemane. But you are in our hearts and minds this silent night as we light and light the hope of life to be. We shun the love you offer with your outstretched hand, for we tend to crucify what we don't understand. The truth cannot be shaken just by taking lives, so you rose again as proof before our eyes. Even so, on this night, all is not calm, all is not bright. We still have the hungry, we have the poor, and we haven't found the peace of mind that puts an end to war. Good wishes and intentions are the gifts we bring. I wish we had a more substantial offering. But peace on earth, goodwill toward men will have to wait till love can rise above the bonds of hate. Have not ceased since you came, fighting over what you said, fighting in your name. Could you please send another star? We could follow through the dark to get a fix on where you are. I don't know if we'd know you if you came again and you walked and taught among us as you did back then. For all I know, you could be standing next to me, so I'll try to find your face in all I see. May this day be our birthday, may we live as one. May peace take root inside us, may your kingdom come. If not on earth, within our hearts this silent night, as we light a light in hope of light to come.
I noticed Deb wrote that Cortana's music makes Eckhart Tolle cry. And yes, I've shared that video in Facebook. And also, if you want to see that video of Eckhart Tolle crying as he listens to Cortana's music, you can go to the Awakening Together website underneath Members and Awakening Together News. And you'll find a post there. What the post is really announcing is that Cortana is going to be our guest tonight, July 20th at 8 p.m. here in the sanctuary, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. But I did put that video in that announcement. And so if you want to go see Eckhart Tolle and watch him, what it says to me, it says that his heart, which of course is our heart, it's our true heart, is expressed in Cortana's music. That's what the video says to me, and it is beautiful. And as I did mention, Cortana will be here tonight, so come tonight and get to know her. And, of course, she's also the musician at our Awakening Together Satsang in September, that retreat in Santa Barbara. So, again, today's teaching, the Tao Te Ching, the difference between trying to fix and being still, the answer to why being still is actually more helpful than trying to fix, even though the world seems completely out of control and there are horrible, horrible images out there. Now is the time that we invite sharing from everyone. Gosh, we have about 12 minutes, so we can do a lot of sharing in 12 minutes. Who would like to comment on today's teaching or on the contemplation that came during the song or on the reading that Dolores shared with us from the Tao Te Ching? The mic is available. Just put up your hand, please, and I'll turn it over to you. All right, Sharon, the mic is yours.
Okay, I don't know if I'm... Wait a minute. Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Okay. Regina, this was the most magnificent, magnificent morning to share. I just got the chills. I feel so here right now and so empty in my mind. I want to thank everybody for this moment that I'm experiencing. And the way you explained the pendulum is just so perfect. And that song, I can't wait to hear Cortana tonight. I'm just so, so grateful to be a part of all of this. and I am grateful to everyone, as we all are one. And, you know, Regina, you started with Dove this process, and Lynn, to allow Awakening Together to be born, and it's so perfect. It's a sanctuary where I need do nothing. I need go nowhere. And I just love you, and I love all of you. Thank you. I'm going to drop the mic. And Dolores, thank you for sharing such a beautiful reading. Wonderful.
Thank you very much, Sharon. And Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Sharon. And I can hardly wait to hear Kirtana tonight as well. I'm so excited. And one thing I wanted to say is how grateful I am to all the new admins that we have. Look down the row here, and you will see that we have Art Lady, which is Sharon. We have Sonia Spahn. We have, let's see who else is here that's a new admin. Jay McCormick's been an admin. Yeah, look down the aisle and see these people. Of course, Alex, who is like, all uber helpful, yes. And who am I missing? Let's see. Who am I missing that's in the new admin group? I said Sonia, yeah. So anyway, yay! Thank you guys so much for volunteering to be helpers here, taking time as an admin. And Sharon is going to be the admin Friday morning from 9 to 1, which is going to be just so amazing for me. God bless you. Thank you all. And that's really all I had to say. Thank you, Regina, for Awakening Together. Thank you all for joining with us here. If we have just a couple more minutes here. I also wanted to say that my heart is so full of joy because suddenly there is an influx of people who want to come here and be teachers. There's a whole influx of people who are sending me messages through Facebook, through email, through everything, saying they want to come here and be teachers. And, I mean, these are just amazing, amazing people. We have a new lady, Heidi Fitgau, who is in the Canary Islands, who is just an amazing teacher. New people coming in every day, and we're going to be starting to do the healing circles like we did at Choose Again in August. We have a fellow, Nathan Marquis, who's going to come and do it, and we are awakening. We are healing in this little window in my room. From this window in my room, I can see the whole world. And Lao Tzu said that, and he didn't know that that was the truth. So anyway, that's all the announcements I have. Also, stay tuned afterwards for an hour of fellowship. And Regina, the mic is yours, or Dolores, I think, had her hand up.
Okay, yes, thank you, Lynn. And yeah, Dolores, you can take the mic.
Good morning again, and I didn't know what exactly I wanted to say. I didn't know that it was a year ago that you had just started the ACIM, and I just started coming a year ago, too. And so I am so grateful that it was here. I was in a lot of pain and didn't know that I had been in a lot of pain for a lot of years, and then to find this room and this teaching, and it just has opened up and taken me to another level. And I don't know, I just realized how much I need to maintain my communication with, and be a part of something like this, because I was always one who wasn't interested in God, you know, and now I just see the importance of continually to grow in this area, and I'm so appreciative of you, Regina. I'm happy to be in the MPP course. Lynn and Dove and Sharon and Barb and Jay. I listen to you all, and I'm just so, so grateful that you're here and that you that you followed your guidance and started the radio. And I also, again, I get kind of tongue-tied, but I just want to say that I did sit in on that sat saying with Magdy, and it was just really kind of like a transformative experience. Like I said, when I sat in with him and I sat down in the chair, I just began to weep, and I just felt this presence. And I'm not good explaining spiritual terms. Maybe at the end of the MPP program I'll be able to, but it was just really an amazing experience, and I wish, hope to get the opportunity again to sit with him. And I'm letting go of the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Dolores. I get tongue-tied and stutter and can't find words and all of that myself, and I don't know if the MPP program will help with that, but it helps with not being self-conscious about it, just laughing at it and being happy no matter what. And yeah, I appreciate you mentioning twice now about the experience you had in Magdy's presence. Again, that was the heart of why we're having the Awakening Together Satsang with Magdy and Timothy, is that unspeakable teaching that happens rather than the teaching through words, although I know words will be used, but it's that unspeakable teaching. And in fact, when you spoke just now, yeah, transmission. When you spoke just now, you really reminded me of what many, many, many people report when they talk about being in the presence of Ramana Maharshi. You know, they talk about walking in and then without even knowing why, this, you know, different types of experience would happen, but maybe an experience of weeping, maybe the mind would go still, and he wasn't saying a word. And, you know, sometimes I think many of us say, oh, you know, it would have been nice to have been with Jesus, or it would have been nice to have been with Ramana Maharshi, or it would have been nice to have been with Buddha. And what we don't realize is that presence is still here, you know, completely unblocked. I mean, we all have the presence, but for many of us, there are also still obstacles in place. The completely clear presence is still here. It's just showing up as different bodies and different names. And again, the Awakening Together Satsang is the opportunity to be in that presence. So thanks for mentioning your experience. And Jeff, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. And I just wanted to say on this one-year anniversary of this new incarnation of our gathering here, it is... there is a certain pride I have in the fact that this carries on like this. Back in the good old days of AOL, when we were on AOL as a chat room, and that this still carries on after so many years and so many wonderful people moving through the idea of this as a gathering place. An exchange of thoughts, a place to reflect back and forth for each other, the love that starts out in so many different places, like A Course in Miracles, and is reflected in so many different ways around the world and this universe, that it still goes on, and that there are still so many people who are guaranteed guaranteed to be here because of their love for the message and their love for the mission. So, yeah, back so many years ago, there was just we weren't able to talk to each other. We just had to type back and forth to each other. I got really good at typing when we were back at ACIM 2000. I think the chat room was called back then, and so many people wandering through, coming in, and not understanding what, or not knowing what A Course in Miracles was, and being able to have so many wonderful people who would just be introduced to that idea back then. Dove was there. That was where I met Dove and so many other wonderful people. So on this 1 year anniversary of this, we are all very, very thankful for the power of the message that allows this to continue forward. And I just wanted to express my thanks to everyone for that as well. I dropped the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, Dove has written that Jeff is the godfather of where we are today. And I don't know about that, so I'll get with Dove later and find out about that, Jeff. But and Vicky Poppy is the godmother. So whatever the two of you had to do with the beginning of this, I want to say thank you very much, and I'll find out that story. I did have a friend that I was talking to on the phone this week who said she was so happy that Awakening Together is here in its form now. She said she always wanted this room to turn into a ministry. And I said, oh, so this is your fault, because those of us who felt the guidance to turn this into a ministry did not have that wish, did not have that desire. It just never crossed our minds. We're just the ones with the guidance. We're the ones being moved with by the Tao. But when people would ask questions like, well, why are you turning into a church? The only answer we could give was, I don't know, because that was the only answer we had. So when this friend said on the phone, I always wanted to turn into a ministry, I jokingly said, oh, so it's your fault. That's why we're doing this. But I'm sure it has its own purposes. Again, the Tao knows what it's doing. We don't need to know. We just need to do what we are moved to do. And with that said, I'm going to play our closing song. This is a song that Cindy Zucker introduced me to on the Costa Rica retreat that we had in March. And it reminded me immediately of the Tao when I heard the song. It's by a lady named Ruthie Foster. And the name of the tune is Love in the Middle. So remember the pendulum as you listen to this song.
Your mind stayed on freedom. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your arms open to receive all of life's blessings. Keep your heart always singing. So your light shines through. Keep your love in the middle of everything you do. Yeah. Give all your love to glory. Lay every burden down, down. Judge not your brothers, they're doing their best, just like you. Give thanks when you're happy, and when you're feeling blue. Keep your love in the middle. Everything you do. When I heard my mother sang these words from the other side. Oh yes, I knew love knows no distance. waters, though the river Jordan's deep and wide.
Perfect song to just kind of summarize the Tao. That's a great song. I want to thank Ruthie Foster for singing that, and thank Cindy Zucca for introducing me to it. I will be back here tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for sharing from the Seven Steps to Awakening, followed immediately by Satsang with Kirtana at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then at 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll have Contemplation Circle, and we will discuss Magdi's daily quote, which I mentioned a couple times during the weekly gathering. So join us tonight. Also, there's things going on all day here. In fact, there's things going on all the time here in the sanctuary. And as Timothy Conway said, you know, all of this Dharma talk is like birds singing or flowers blooming. Reality uses the human instrument to talk about reality, and eventually, sooner or later, by the power of this reality, sentient beings awaken to this reality. So come, be a sponge, and absorb the clarity here. Good day, everyone.